And now, a PSA from the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network.
Go vote on Tuesday, November 3rd. I don't care who you vote for. I do care who you vote for. But anyway, go vote. It's your constitutional right.
We fought these British on time.
We fought these British fucks, you know, so we could have the right to vote. So go fucking vote.
How's that going for you?
Hey, buddy. You'd fucking be speaking German right now if it weren't for us. So
you turned up 4 years too late.
Now, I will say, at least we're not on full lockdown. Yes, that too.
And we're not until Wednesday night.
No matter the results, don't fucking riot. All right? Yes. It's not that big a fucking deal. All right? It's never as bad as the other side says it's going to be.
I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America? I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0 because I'm still nursing a Halloween hangover. What a heart-pounding finish to an epic battle in Chicago. The Saints showed yet again that you can knock them down, but you cannot knock them out. CJGJ is proof of that. You can't even knock him down. He can take a punch. He's perfected the art of instigation, drawing another punch to the helmet, which swung the momentum in the Saints' favor, creating a chain of events that led to Will Lutz redeeming himself for his earlier mishap. The team pulled together and Sean Payton celebrated in the locker room with the guys, showing how white he is, suggesting that the chemistry might be coming together at the right time. I hope you listened to the 2-point conversion instant reaction show. In this episode, we're going to dive a little deeper into the game. And as always, we're going to check in on NFL reach around the pick'ems and take an early look at next week's matchup against the Bucks. So put your hands and legs inside your ear bowls.
Ear bowls?
Put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. I swear I'm not dropping. What's your number?
I definitely don't have a number. I'm at work today, but my heart is beating a lot slower today after last night's crazy win. So feeling good, although it's weird. These recordings from the office where I can't drink at all, it's kind of meh.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a nighttime at some point. All right. Also, let's stay with the U.S. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also working right now, so I am a 0. You know, I miss the good old days back in like the 50s where you could, you know, have bars set up in your office. That would work perfectly for a lot of us. So.
Cigar bars in the office.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But other than that, I'm doing good. Good win last night, yesterday afternoon, I guess I should say. And very excited about things that happened today. So we'll get to more of that later, I suppose.
Yeah. And then James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
My number is 0. I'm still not supposed to drink. I may dabble occasionally, but not right now. I'm absolutely shattered from last night because the game didn't finish until 1:15 in the morning for us.
And for those of you in the US, shattered doesn't mean heartbroken in this case. It means tired.
Yeah, it does mean tired. Sorry, I keep forgetting I need to translate to American English.
That's right. And then also our resident alcoholic, Ben, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Resident alcoholic. This is going to sound really bad now. I'm about 2.
Yeah. that's why he's here.
That's the only reason I'm here. We're drinking some Australian rosé tonight. So I'm on the wine. Wine down Monday.
Yeah. Had a little rosé in your bath.
Are you drinking the girls' drink?
It's the only bottle that's open in the house. I'm not going to open a new bottle.
Men don't drink rosé. They drink red.
We do down south.
Well, that says it all about people down south.
Yeah, at least we haven't got Corona.
Well, it's out of a bottle though, not a box.
Now we are getting ready for lockdown part two because the North can't social distance, and I'm on the rosé.
All right, and then finally, Ash, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero. I didn't know he was planning on recording right now, so I'm a zero. I'm just on the Pepsi.
He's gonna.
I literally just got off NBA 2K.
So nice, you could stop playing video games to do the podcast. Thank you. All right. As I said earlier, everybody should have listened to the 2-point instant reaction. Great show, guys, for those of you who are able to do it. But let's get a little deeper in the game recap. You guys kind of hit a little bit on the CJGJ thing. And I think last night, the early predictions were all incorrect. After, if anybody saw Evan Sack's diagnosis or investigation on Twitter, it actually pretty smart, I guess, of what CJGJ did. He yanked the mouthpiece off of Wims's helmet, right? Which
Did you just say Mimsis?
Wims's. He then had to sit on the sideline for 5.5 human minutes, stewing to the point where he showed up the very next play, right? Chauncey wasn't even guarding him. So Mims goes over. I don't know if he successfully got Chauncey's mouthpiece or if he missed whatever, but
no, he got it.
So he got it and then punched.
Yeah.
I still want to know what Chauncey said to him.
There was an 11-minute gap between him, so Chauncey Gardner-Johnson taking his mouthpiece. This sounds weird, right? Taking his mouthpiece. And then the Saints had a drive and a punt before he got on the field again and then just decided that he was
going to... Important, there was an interception immediately after. So there was, He was stewing, not just that he got punked, lost his mouthpiece, and then the Bears trampled his mouthpiece multiple times because there was a penalty. So he's watching his mouthpiece get destroyed. Then an interception... Then the Saints drive score.
No.
The interception was after the play.
Interception was after he got ejected.
Oh, okay.
There was a delay of game. The Bears punted to us. Then we had our drive. And then he came back on the field, threw the punch, got ejected. Then there was an interception.
Okay. That was the insult to injury.
Classic Jeff.
It's a lot of things happening. So, okay. So, was that what him and Michael Thomas were practicing a couple of weeks ago? Is that pretty much it? Has he been working, perfecting the art of like getting inside receivers' heads?
He's doing a good job if that's what he's been practicing.
We call it shithousery over here.
Shithousery, starting shit.
It's the art of shithousery, and he seems to be an absolute expert at it.
For real.
Hey, I mean, it really swung the game in our direction because, like you said, like we were talking about the next play, there was, you know, can never get his name right. Anyway, he got an interception and kind of swung the momentum in our direction. So, I mean, whatever works.
That's right. All right, so we also got a lot of Kamara in the first half.
Yeah.
As is tradition, we got Deontay. Y'all talked about Deontay Harris and loving him. I think Jason, your comment on the instant reaction show was you summed it up where anything can happen. You feel like anything can happen every time he touches the ball, which when you said that on the show, I was waiting for one of you to say, like, so we have like two Kamaras. We have like the Kamara running back and the Kamara type receiver.
Yeah, and this goes back to guys like, like Devin Hester and like who's the guy who used to do the X for Kansas City, you know, these explosive returners that they just got so much speed and just there's nothing. And then there's something and just boom, he's gone. You know, there's the Saints. That's something they've been lacking is just an actual playmaker with those kind of skills. They've really been lacking that for a while. And with the injuries to receivers, we had to rely on him on offense in addition to the kick returning. But man, just when he could flip the field like that on a return, it's massive.
Definitely.
I think we had didn't we have four possessions that started in Bears territory yesterday? Of three or four. And you know, that's huge in a game like that. You know, where the weather isn't great, it's windy, you're not going to be sustaining 80, 90 yard drives due to the weather conditions and things like that. Having a short field to work from is so important. I mean, we didn't really take advantage of it because it was mainly field goals, but the big part the thing of the game.
Like I said yesterday on the Instant Reaction show, that's still my favourite win. I know the offence didn't put the numbers up that it used to, but look what they were working with and what they were going against. You've got to kind of put that in consideration. And I think it was Jason, or it might have been Scott, that said yesterday, if that game was in the Dome, it would, you know, we would have murdered them. Absolutely murdered them. But considering we were in Chicago, crap weather, a lot of injuries on offence, playing against a really good defence, I was really happy just to come away with the win. I don't really care how we got it.
Yeah, and you kind of figured that it was going to be one of those Camara kind of games just because the way the wind was and it being cold and stuff, that we were going to run the ball but also have short passing routes. And, you know, us knowing that means the Bears know that, and they still couldn't stop Camara. I mean, he's just – worth every single penny we've ever paid him. He's a freak, and I love him.
He's one of the most fun players I've ever watched, I think. I get so much joy just watching him every time he gets the ball.
And it's funny because he doesn't even look like he's running hard. It looks like he's just gliding, you know.
That's why it's bouncing so off fun. That's why it's funny, because they just can't stop him. Unless it's on fourth down, obviously.
Latavius Murray had a bit of a challenge getting started. You know, I think running between the tackles was just going to be tough because their defensive line was pretty stout.
That's what I was going to say. Was it more because just respect for the Bears, or was it an issue that the Saints offensive line was struggling with? Because I thought the Saints O-line played relatively well, except for that.
Yeah, I think so too. They protected Drew pretty well. I don't remember there being a sack. I don't have to look at the stats, but I really don't remember one off the top of my head. you know, it's just the Bears have a really good defensive line, so it was just going to be hard to run against them up the middle. But you know, we kind of balanced that out with the short passing game, and did he?
Well, Roquan Smith had a really good game.
I think they pushed offensive linemen back into Breeze a couple of times. I think that's where one of the fumbles came from. He jumped back on. They were plowing them back, but actually getting past them. No, it wasn't that often they were getting past them. They were just bulldozing them back. But no, they were. I thought Drew was very well under pressure. Aikman and Buck seemed to have this big thing about his yards per attempt and saying how it was dead last in the league. I don't really give a shit if it's dead last in the league. We're still winning games. It works.
Yeah.
We haven't got a deep threat wide receiver. So we got rid of Brandon Cooks. You know, we didn't need that anymore. We adapted to Breeze. His accuracy, his brain is much better than him having a deep arm.
We've talked about that on previous shows about him throwing the ball short and it kind of being an issue, but I really didn't have an issue with this game. One, the win. Two, we were without our wide receivers. You know, there just wasn't, it was going to be that type of game regardless. Yeah, you know,
said that in the think chat before the game that the weather, the wind kind of plays right into this team's.
And I think the previous game, you know, we showed that he can still throw it, you know, deep when he needs to. Just this particular game, it was just going to be that type of game.
It's now at this point, it's like your special move in the game that you can only use, like the deep throw, you have to use it sparingly. Because once you use it, you've got to wait for that energy to, you know, to rebuild.
You got to wait for his health to recharge.
Yeah, like your mana has to recharge.
Before you have to complete six passes in a row before your super recharges.
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the ball, again, we're still giving up big freaking plays.
Yeah, but we held Montgomery to 89 yards, which going into halftime, he had 75, 80. So we only
he was in the 70 range. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they
well, he had one big run that was what, like 30 something yards. But I mean, we're going to stop the run. You know, they kind of corrected that quick, but every freaking game we're having people running wide open down the field. And
Well, maybe the new acquisition might be able to help with that.
Maybe so.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to get into that in headlines.
Good little segue that was.
You know, yeah. one thing that we touched on last night, but probably didn't elaborate on, just the fumble, non-fumble, the forward progress thing. And
yeah.
Bullshit.
And I know they were saying it was the right call. The problem is, the ref threw the bag on the ground, indicating a fumble, you know, while the play was going on. And then again, like if the whistle gets blown, okay, fine, I get it. But there was no whistle blown. That's the crazy part. Like, it's crazy to me that shit like this. Like
they decided after, right?
Yeah,
after the result.
Yeah, they decided after the play was over. Like, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
The official that was stood right next to the incident threw the bag to indicate the fumble, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And then the official that came from behind the defense is the one that came over and told him that forward progress was stopped. So they changed the call.
On the field, on a play that's not supposed to be reviewable. Like, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, you look at, I don't know if they just didn't have a camera angle, but they never showed an exact replay of when the ball was actually coming out. Like, they kept showing it from the back. They never showed it from the other side where you could see the ball. Because I would have liked to have seen if it started coming out before the forward progress was being made. Again, if there's no whistle being blown, how can they just do that?
Look, I'll be honest. The one thing I was worried about is, they're just going to call it incomplete pass. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Right, which, you know, I don't know if that's any worse or whatever, but I mean, it was bullshit. You know, it was bullshit.
We all know that if the receiver would have broken Davis's tackle and run another 5 yards, they'd have given him the 5 yards.
Absolutely. It's just so damn frustrating.
They're not going to call that back.
The league wants offense. That's what they don't want, defense. The league wants offense. Hence why the rules are bent towards the offense.
I think the league rule is ratings.
Like the Saints.
Well, that and ratings. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you saw on the drive that the Bears needed the field goal to tie it, to send it to overtime. All that stuff was clearly designed to keep the audience watching, to create a longer
drama.
Game. Yeah, drama.
It was America's game of the week.
Yeah, it was 100%. They gave the Bears that drive by any means necessary. So now the fumble, I mean, whether it's drama, like keep the Bears in the game that early, but or if it that might have been, you know, fuck the Saints still. So we have like double. Like most teams, I get it. Like, you're going to throw some calls to keep the drama. But the Saints have the added whatever it is that the NFL just has to.
I would really like to see Cam Jordan's stats this season if he didn't, with all the holding penalties, if they actually came in.
Yeah.
Like,
that was another thing we kind of talked about on the show last night.
Yeah.
That fourth down play. I mean, I could see it from my chair in my living room that he was getting held on a very quick camera angle because he threw it right after I saw it. And I was like, I yelled at the TV. My kids came running to the den. They thought something was wrong. Like, that was a holding call.
Yep. He did.
Bullshit. Absolute horseshit.
Trey Hendrickson.
Now,
Onyemata.
Onyemata's just, I love the guy so much.
Yeah.
I
have three more now.
Five different players yesterday.
What's if that? Jordan actually showed up a little bit.
Yeah. Five sacks by five different players yesterday, I think.
And I remember that's something I put in. I put it in the chat too, like, because, you know, they were playing offensive line roulette. It's like, okay, if we can't take advantage of this, then we're in fucking trouble.
All right. Let's see. What do we talk about? Wim's got, what, 2-game suspension for the punches thrown?
2 games.
That's weak.
Well played.
If that had been the other way around, Gardner Johnson would have been suspended for the year.
I wonder if there's a fine going to be on top of that.
Oh, there's. I would.
Yeah.
It's a hit to the head, and I mean, I know only quarterbacks matter when it comes to hits in the head, but that's a direct hit in the head, even with a helmet. Hope he broke his knuckles or something.
The best part, I've watched that clip so many times over and over, and the best part is watching Jackrabbit just jump all over the dude's back as soon as he threw those punches. Like, I want Jackrabbit on my team if he's going to be sticking up for me like that, because he just fucking, he's like, fuck this dude. He just jumped on his back and started brawling. And the refs could have,
you know, I'm glad that's one thing, you know, kudos to the refs for not capitalizing on that and calling some kind of offsetting because of that, because applaud Chauncey for his discipline as well to stand there and take it, which clearly shows that it was all premeditated, right? I'm gonna get
in this guy's head
to the point where I'm gonna draw a personal foul.
I absolutely love that about him so much. Like I said, it's class A shithousery. I love it.
It might be Peyton rubbing off on him.
It's
Peyton effect. Because we all know brilliant. Asshole Peyton is the best Peyton.
Asshole Gardner Johnson is the best Gardner Johnson.
All right, let's get in the headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the headline, really the only headline worth talking about, is Kwon Alexander joining the New Orleans Saints from the San Francisco 49ers. It's a trade that was announced at the time of this recording, maybe, what, a couple hours ago?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere? And the Saints really trading away nothing. So
conditional fifth round and Kiki Alonso.
Kiko Alonso recovering from ACL surgery.
So one KA for another KA.
Wow.
Okay.
And I think the conditional fifth is based on the amount of playing time that Kwon Alexander gets as well.
So does San Francisco know something about his health?
He's been out since October 11th with a high ankle sprain. So
Michael Thomas, am I correct? Talk to each other.
He'll fit right into the Saints.
Yeah. Am I correct that they have to pass a physical before a trade can be completed still? Is that the rule?
Usually, but it's, you know, we're not known for having the greatest doctors who are gonna catch that. So
Peyton's come out and said that there's like a 5-day onboarding process for new players, so it's unlikely he'll see the field this weekend.
That's a shame. It's against Tampa as well, isn't it? It's a kind of free hit sort of thing. I hear he's got quite a high cap hit next year, but we've got an option to get out of it, get out of the contract this year. And
yeah,
this
I think
year,
there's just a $2 million. I don't know if it's an injury clause or something. We can get out of it for $2 million if we want.
Yeah, or you try and restructure maybe.
But it's just wild because it really came out of nowhere. This wasn't the position that we thought we were going to address. We were all thinking defensive line, possibly cornerback. And then linebacker. Not that we didn't need a linebacker, but and the fact that it's an LSU player, just like
that's very surprising. Skip. And they said he's going to be kind of fighting for time with Anzalone, so that'll be interesting to see how that.
It's Anzalone injury season. It's Anzalone's injury season.
Davis and Kwon Alexander. That's some serious speed. At linebacker, and that's something that we've not really had much of in the last 10 years.
Have we ever had this much speed at linebacker?
Don't patrol. They're bringing it back.
Podcast.
That count? That
count. Yeah, Scott. Craig Robertson's just reminds me of the slowest player I've ever seen on the football field.
Yeah, keep him on special teams. That's fine.
Yep, that's right. Yep, that's where he needs to stay. So yeah, right. I mean, pretty damn exciting. Yeah, do you think that's the last move that they make?
I can see them. I don't know why, but I can just see like a wide receiver or something coming in.
But if we're getting,
I don't know why. I just got a hunch.
It's interesting because
that means it's bullshit.
If we're getting back Thomas, Sanders, and possibly Callaway this week, I mean, that's like trading for receivers right there.
Yeah, I guess. I suppose so. It depends how, like, when's the trade deadline?
It's soon.
Isn't it tomorrow?
November.
I thought they extended it this year because of COVID. It's COVID related.
I want to say fifth of the six.
I could still see them getting some kind of defensive lineman, especially with Rankins going out yesterday.
Got Roach, though, haven't you? Roach was inactive yesterday.
4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
Okay. There you go. That's kind of the other headline is Rankins' injury out for, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that actually came through the wire. I know they said it was an MCL injury.
I believe they said 3 weeks.
Okay.
Or
there's been nothing else on that. Yeah, there's been no like further updates on that. I think if it's the MCL is the better of the two to hurt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but we've actually got some good depth at defensive tackle. Brown, Roach, Tuttle. So I don't think we're going to miss a lot with Sheldon Rankins not there. I mean, I guess Sheldon Rankins may have been used as trade bait if he didn't get injured, potentially.
Yeah, not no more.
No one's trading for him now.
No, and the good news, considering all the injuries he's been through, he was, you know, starting to play well again. So it's just, man, he's just got the injury bug.
And I mean, we talked about yesterday, the way they described it on the broadcast, it wouldn't even show the replay that it was so, you know, looked so bad. But
sounds like his leg got detached from his body.
Yeah, I don't know what could have been so bad that you couldn't show a replay, but whatever.
Well, I still haven't watched the Jabari Greer injury from 2013.
Oh, just, yeah, it gives me goosebumps even thinking about that.
I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, along with Ben's tub picture.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it home.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego.
All right, is that it for the headlines? Let's get into NFL Reach Around. Real quick on this one, I think we do need to do a little quick Joe Burrow check-in.
He's fucking good.
Scott?
Well, they beat the Titans yesterday, which is, you know, I mean, the Titans are one of the top teams in the AFC, in the National Football League, period. Mm-hmm. So, he had a really good game. Let me get you some stats here.
He leads the league 31 in attempts.
Yeah, they won 31-20. He was 18 of 30, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm reading the wrong stat line. I'm reading Tannehill stat line. Sorry. 26 for
wow.
26.
Don't let Joe know.
26 for 37, 249 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Classic Scott.
Yeah. So, you know, looked good again.
He's going to smash every rookie passing record going, isn't he? And I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be the offensive rookie of the year. I can't think of anybody that would.
I mean, Herbert is putting up a lot of stats.
Yeah, Herbert is putting up some stats. I mean, Joe's been starting from the get-go, so obviously his stats will probably be a little better. Even though
Herbert's got weapons as well.
Yeah,
he's,
I mean, Joe really doesn't have much.
Williams.
Yeah, well, hold on. Burrow's got he's got Boyd and T. Higgins. I mean, those are two decent receivers. I mean, he doesn't have an offensive line. That was the crazy part. No, he lost some guys on the offensive line. I don't think he got sacked once yesterday.
That's Herbert, because Jadeveon Clowney was playing.
Boy, we dodged a bullet there, huh?
Big time. But so Joe's doing good. Like we said, you know, he's looking to pretty much break a bunch of rookie records. So keep it up, Big Joe. Big Dick Joe.
Give him an offensive line, and that Cincinnati team in a couple of years are going to be dangerous.
Offensive line and a defense, you know, they held Tennessee to 20, which is pretty good, pretty decent, but their defense has given up kind of like the Saints. They give up a lot of big plays.
I really enjoyed the Pittsburgh Ravens game. That was fun to
that
watch.
Was a good game.
I missed that one.
Game of the day, really.
That was a great game.
Brutal.
I just love two teams that hate each other.
Yeah, and man, Lamar continues to struggle against good teams. I mean, he turned the ball over 4 times yesterday.
This is how crazy it was. I actually benched Lamar and put Cam Newton in, and I got more points for Cam.
Wow.
And I still beat Jeff.
Kicked out of that league just for playing Cam Newton. But anyway,
I still beat Jeff.
That's not saying much.
Not this year. You know, I don't have anyone on my team.
Well, you could have drafted some.
I
have
Mike Thomas. Every year, whoever I draft, it doesn't matter. They'll get hurt. Saquon Barkley. I mean, you know. Story of my life. Oh, well. Raiders be the nice. Okay. You know, actually, because every other game I want to talk about is pretty much in pick'ems. So why don't we jump to pick'ems?
We all did pretty well last week in pick'ems. None of us had a losing record last week, but the winner of the week goes to Ash, who continues his role after two straight weeks of 4-1. This week, he decided to do a little better. He went 5-0, in addition to getting his first fantasy win against me because my team stinks. If there's anybody that needs to be on taking the over, it seems like it's Ash right now.
I'm going to guess the Bears have taken me over. That's fine.
Me and James have been here before. It doesn't last.
Shut the fuck up, you English trap. Fuck off.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he keeps doing this. He's building up a big enough...
Fuck off.
He's building up a big enough lead. It's not going to matter.
He's the Atlanta Falcons of pick'ems. Trust me.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not in the fourth quarter yet, so...
It's right. Coming.
He's still increasing his lead, so... So after his five,
yet, so don't worry.
So he's that's right. We're only through week 8, so we're getting close to halftime. But he's got the lead out of all of us at 28-11. That is a strong record here. James and Jeff both went 4-1 this week, while the rest of us went 3-2. So that leaves Jeff in second place somehow at 25-14.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right behind him, 24-15. Scott and James are at 23-16. And then Ben's at 21-13 due to his missed week. So I think he might have a better percentage, but less wins. So sorry, that's where you are.
All right. In the larger league, we got some votes in. And I believe, as far as I can tell, this is the first time ever that every single person picked the same team and won. And that was the Dallas Philly shitty game of the week. Every single, like everybody who played from the viewing, listening audience, all chose Philadelphia.
I guess Jerry Jones didn't send in a pick.
Yeah. No, my picks are not too far apart.
If anyone picked Dick Whittle to beat the Eagles, then they need their head examined.
Right. Right. So, yeah, we got Ash was on top of the whole league, followed by a tie between me and JTL. Then you got Christian Mino, Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Jason, James, Scott, Ben. So the whole Dome Patrol, the group there in one big lump in the middle. Mordecai, Carp, 2096. Big Easy Guy, John. Davis Douglas is the, 500 marker. And on the losing side of the scales is Neil. Chris McGuire, Dave,
classic Dan
Hobbs, Gerald DeBooty, the mailman, and finally, kind of pretty much disqualified, but we'll keep him in there, is Jake Drew, Preston Allen, and Gunn. Gunn remains 0-39 for the entire pickups league. Then that's our reminder to tell you to listen to your gambling picks with Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. It's a podcast published each week. He could not publish last week. Because he is fighting the COVID that he caught from a wild weekend in Texas, I believe, or somewhere at a wedding. So instead of that, Ben and James had an interview with Jeff Duncan about his new book coming out about Peyton and Breeze. So make sure you give that a good listen. And I don't know if Jeff gave, I haven't finished listening to that one, so I don't know if he told you how you can get the book or not, but
he did.
Yeah, I figured he would. He's there to sell it. So, all right, Jason, let's get into Pick'ems.
All right, we've
Billy Gunn that got COVID at a wedding.
Yeah, all the groomsmen got it.
New word for STD, innit?
He said all the groomsmen got it. I'm like, I don't know about these.
So instead of like gone, so instead of gonorrhea, oh no, I got COVID.
They all shared it. Right. Oh boy. All right.
They should have done those keg stands.
Yeah. So we actually have a really good slate of games this week. This might be the best slate we've had the entire year. A lot of winning record matchups going against each other. The first game, the Seattle Seahawks, coming off a win last week. You know, a little closer than probably people were expecting against San Francisco, especially San Francisco losing Garoppolo. And now the news today, they lost Kittle with a broken bone in his foot for 8 weeks. So Seattle's riding pretty high, still with one loss. They travel to Buffalo to play a Bills team that barely hung on to beat the Patriots last week by three. They had a good rushing attack with Singletary and Moss combining for like 170 yards rushing. But Josh Allen's kind of struggled a little bit. You know, he was on fire the first 2 weeks, and now he's kind of come back to earth a little bit. But this is a pretty big matchup. It's in Buffalo, and the Bills are getting 3 points at home.
Bills are getting three.
Now, I'm guessing they still can't have the Bills Mafia in the stands throwing dildos at the players, so...
All right, and that's the Bills are getting three against San Francisco. Give me the Bills.
No, against Seattle.
Seattle, sorry. Oh, against Seattle. Hold on. I thought.
Gotta recalibrate.
Start talking about San Francisco. Hold on.
I think I'm gonna go Seattle. I think Jamal Adams is back this week, and that will make a big difference to their defense. So, yeah, give me Seattle. Everyone needs to stop waiting for Ash to make his pick. Just make.
I'm gonna go Seattle as well.
I'm still gonna take the Bills. I don't like the West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast. I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, give me the Bills too.
Ash, who are you taking?
Give me the Sea Chickens.
All right, well that settles it. I'm taking Seattle.
He's gonna ride them coattails.
That's right. And Dan, who are you taking?
Seattle, please.
All right.
Our next game, the Baltimore Ravens, coming off that close loss to Pittsburgh. You know, Lamar struggles against good teams. Well, he's playing another good team this week. They travel to Indy to play a Colts team that you know, really, really were impressive this week. Granted, it was just Detroit, but they beat Detroit 41-21. You know, I know they were missing one of their big defenders. He came back this week. Phillip Rivers hasn't thrown too many back-breaking interceptions the last few weeks, but there's definitely going to be a possibility here. You know, Baltimore is going to be pissed. So they're going into Indy, and this also brings up the old Colts, Ravens, the old Baltimore Colts, that kind of rivalry. Fans kind of hate each other, and Baltimore hate the Colts. But the Colts, we got another home dog here. They're getting 3.5 at home.
Give me the Colts, please.
I am going to take the Colts as well.
Leonard's coming back has massively changed their defense.
Paul's defense is fucking playing lights out right now. So give me
Ben, your microphone must be in your jacket.
I do apologize.
Yeah, she took the Colts too.
That's not his jacket.
Okay.
Give me the Colts as well.
Wow.
Who are they playing? Who's playing there?
Ravens.
Baltimore at Indy. Mm-hmm. I'll take Baltimore.
Yeah, I was expecting I was going to be a lone wolf on that one, but I'm going to take the Ravens too.
Has anyone else noticed that Mark Ingram's completely disappeared off the face of the earth?
Injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was dealing with an injury, but
Saints knew something.
All right, our next game, a battle of young up-and-coming quarterbacks, the Miami Tuas, coming off that really, really big win this past week. Now, granted, Tua didn't do a lot at all, I think.
The defense and special teams did a fucking lot.
Yeah, the defense. I'm getting to that. Relax. The Dolphins scored two defensive touchdowns last week and beating the Rams 28-17. They travel to Arizona to play a Cardinals team coming off a bye.
Give me the Cardinals all day.
It's a spread.
Oh, I'm sorry. Arizona's at home, favored by 5.5.
God, this will take.
Favored by 5.5. Give me Arizona.
I'm going to take the Dolphins to lose but cover the spread.
Cardinals for me, please.
Oh, give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cardinals as well. That's a big, this is a gamble.
That's why it's called gambling. All right, our next game, another game of winning records. I think all these games so far are teams with winning records going against each other. Chicago Bears coming off that loss to the Saints. Travel to Tennessee, coming off an upset loss in Cincinnati. So a couple of teams that could really use a win right now. As far as I know, the Bears are still going to go with Big Dig Nick and not bring in Trubisky, although you could see Trubisky at some point this year. But anyway, this game's in Tennessee, and the Titans are favored by 6.
Titans. Give me the Titans. Titans, yeah.
Yeah, Titans in a blowout. Blowout.
That spread doesn't seem far big enough for me. 6 points Titans seems a little bit, yeah.
Titans by 6?
Yep. I'm going to take Tennessee as well.
Wow. You're all taking Tennessee. I'm going to be the lone wolf. I'm taking Chicago.
You mean the lone bear?
You did see Chicago yesterday, right?
Yeah, and we beat them in overtime by a field goal. And we have a better offense than Tennessee. They have a good defense. I think they're going to keep it a tight game enough to cover the spread. All right. Yeah, I did see that game.
Okay.
I know Jeff has one loss for next week.
This is called separation.
And now for our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. No, no, no. Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Which we're actually gonna take a week off from the NFC East and kind of give them a break because we know they'll be back. We're gonna head to the AFC South for the Houston Texans coming off a bye. This past week, they've only got one win on the season. They travel to Jacksonville to play a Jaguars team that is also coming off a bye. Looks like will not be with Gardner Minshew as he's got broken bones in his finger. So some other slapdick is going to play quarterback. I saw the name, didn't recognize him.
Jake Luton.
Okay.
give me the Texans.
Right. Jacksonville is getting 7 at home.
It is 7.
Wow.
give me the Texans.
Wow.
I'm going to take Houston as well.
James is really pondering this.
That spread's got me a little bit.
Me too.
I mean, Houston's bad. They've only got one win.
Sean Watson against a nobody.
Give me Jacksonville.
Wow.
I'm going for it.
Going for the London Jags.
He is being bold.
Give me the Texans. Although we're 7 points, unknown QB now. Give me the Texans. Fuck it.
Got to break out the old point differential.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna ride with my UK compadre and go with James and go with Jacksonville.
Wow. Look at that.
All right. And you know what? I am also going to take the points in this one. These two teams are pretty much the same team as far as the point differential goes. So they both have the same offense, same defense. So they're going to pretty much tie.
All right. So that's our slate this week. We've got Seattle at Buffalo. Buffalo getting 3 at home. Baltimore at Indy. The Colts getting 3.5 at home. Miami at Arizona. The Cardinals are favored by 5.5. Chicago at Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 6. And then our shitty game, Houston at Jacksonville. And the Jags are catching 7 at home.
That's your pick-ems. Make sure you get them in before kickoff. And we'll track them. And we'll keep them going. This is a very weird year with pick-ems. I hope the records are right. I have no idea anymore. So... in the meantime, let's talk about next week, where the Saints are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the second time this year. This time, both teams are coming in with a different look than they did in week one. A little different personnel. Antonio Brown, is he cleared to play? Or is he still on suspension?
He will be. I think he comes off suspension this week and will be eligible to play. Now, how much of the playbook he'll be able to get in and things like that. You know, he might be used sparingly. They're going to be without Godwin, so you know they could use him. I know he's. I think he practiced with them last week, but couldn't travel to the game. So, yeah, we'll see. We all know that, you know, Lattimore's son's playing for Tampa. So, you know, the daddy will cover the son and Mike Evans.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you know, this is probably going to get the most media attention out of any game this week because of the quarterbacks involved. And that was another thing during the game that was kind of ridiculous. At the bottom of the screen, they kept showing
very
breaking
ridiculous
news. Drew Brees sets the all-time TD record. It's like, come on, guys.
Like, I wonder if they're going to show it back and forth as the game goes on. Right. They throw touchdown passes. you know, I think it's we're obviously week one, you didn't know kind of what you were getting into. I think Tampa's gotten better. I think we will be getting better on offense, getting hopefully Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back.
And Callaway.
Defensively, I don't know. Are we about the same? Are we better than we were week one?
Well, we keep getting told that these mistakes will be rectified. So maybe this is the week.
You know, maybe getting Quan Alexander will help, but I don't know.
The problem is it's not going to help this week. Yeah.
Is he even going to play this week? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't think so. Right.
So, you know,
right. I mean, Brady's been slinging it around lately. You know, their offense is clicking. They got Fournette fully involved now. Their defense
Gronk's kind of coming along.
Yeah, and of course their defense is legit, man.
The number one ranked defense against the rush and the pass this year.
That's so annoying.
What the hell?
We've got seventh ranked defense.
They add all these offensive weapons and their defense gets better.
Yeah, and they lost Vita Vea.
Is anybody like nervous about winning this game?
Yeah.
I think I had picked the our big preseason thing that we would split with Tampa, I believe is what I said.
Unless Michael Thomas is and Emmanuel Sanders are back and playing at full capacity, I don't know that we can keep up.
This three-game stretch of Chicago, Tampa, and San Francisco, it's a really hard stretch.
San Francisco may not be as bad now, right?
But you'd have taken two and one in that stretch, breaking down the season.
Yeah.
But no, I think we can win this game. We are good enough to win this game.
My prediction, I've said we were going to go 14-2, so I'm going to have to stay with, I think the Saints are going to win, otherwise I'm going against my record.
If we'd lost in week one against the Bucks, then I would have been quite concerned for this game, but obviously we beat them. Hang on, I mean, dogs fucking have a bloody fuck off, you silly twat. He's having a drink of water and I can't talk while he's having a drink of water. Fuck off, you silly twat. Right. If we had lost against week one against the Bucks, I would have been quite concerned about this week. But you know, we beat the Bucks, we got the tie break, and listen, we beat them. We beat the defense in week one. Why can't we do it again? I'm positive that we can beat them again. You know, so stop this negative bullshit. We're gonna go to fucking Tampa and we're gonna fucking take the W out of there. Will you fuck off with the drinking dog?
One thing we have got going our way, I think, is that they're playing tonight in New York. It's a short week for them. So we've got an extra day preparation. They will rest, however you want to put it. That's something that's going away. Look, if Tom Brady gets put in concussion protocol tonight, I wouldn't be too disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what injury could occur. I mean, I don't wish injury on anybody. I don't know, like Ben, but you know, you don't know what could happen.
I mean, there's a part of me though that like, and I get it, like you take your wins however you can get them and get into the tournament. But at the same time, I don't like beating teams because they've lost a key player, because it doesn't necessarily mean that we're better. And then when the inevitable happens, when you meet them again or you meet a team equal or better in the playoffs, your team isn't, you've got that false hope, right? I mean, I don't want Tampa without Tom. I want to beat them outright with Brady.
No, but how about the fact that we've been able to piece together these wins without Michael Thomas for 6 weeks and without Emmanuel Sanders this time?
How do we know Michael Thomas is playing again? I want Michael Thomas on the field for this game. If Michael Thomas plays, I feel I'm on Ash's side. You know what? No, we beat him before. Yeah, things change and whatever, but we're better off too. But if we don't have Michael Thomas, I don't see any way we beat this team.
I can understand your point with Michael Thomas, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, we still got Sean Payton, and I'm pretty sure he will have a plan to work out that we will beat this team.
Well, if you go to your local bookstore and buy Jeff Duncan's book, Peyton and Breeze, The Men Who Built the Greatest Offense, you can see how they build teams to win games.
Right.
No, he has no shame.
Mm-hmm. I have no shame whatsoever. You guys should know that by now.
Yeah.
no, look, honestly, we've got the coach to put together the game plan to win. No.
They do seem more, the whole team, coaches included, that they seem more focused. They seem like they're hitting their stride, which again, I like a team that's coming into their stride at this point in the season rather than to have been, look at Tampa. What, you know, Tampa might have peaked and maybe they're about to go on the slide or something.
Scott. Yeah. Kamara will go off on one, hopefully. We'll get a few weapons involved. It's going to be a close game. But I trust us, but it can. I wouldn't be surprised if we lose.
You trust the Saints. Jesus Christ.
Hey, penalties have been coming down. Penalties have been coming down week after week at the moment.
We're
getting more disciplined. We're getting
Jesus.
More disciplined.
Did you not learn anything from last week?
Hey,
just shut up.
The Red Bull will be down.
No. All right, zip it.
You can't even.
Zip it. Zip.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frown, would you please?
Too high, pin the wall. Meet our hero at all. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying
zip.
To.
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want
zip.
You. Stop. Oh,
really? Zip it. This is... Zip it.
Oh!
Zip it.
You know what?
Zip it.
You're like a child.
Zip it.
Talking. If you just one time.
Zip it. Unveil the time portal.
This team's mentality this week should be this and this only. This game can decide the division at the end of the season.
This game can also decide the one seed, the one team that can
exactly.
get a bye.
So this game in Tampa, there's a lot riding on it. The division title and possibly number one seed.
When was the last time the Saints versus the Bucks was prime time in Tampa?
I know. Really? I feel like this is always the noon Fox game with Dick Stockton.
Should be Thursday night football normally.
The Bucks went out and bought themselves a team, and that's great for them. The Saints. I mean, you're right in that because of the stakes in this game, if Sean Payton and the team is, you know, vintage, they're hitting that stride. They're going to be focused, and I don't doubt that they can't come up with some way to get inside the Bucks' heads and. I don't know that we can beat them just like line up, go to fisticuffs. I don't know that we can beat them. We're going to have to get fancy about it.
Yeah.
Which so, maybe you'll see some more
Taysom. I mean, line them up at wide receiver. Line them up at wide receiver. I don't care. Yeah. Just do not put them behind.
That's it, though. This is this is the first playoff game right here. This is how you're going to tell what we're going to get in December and January. Yeah.
I don't think this will be the last time we play the Buccaneers this season.
I agree.
I hope it is. I don't want to see him again. Especially
I'd rather lose now and beat him in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's hard to beat a team three times. Saints are really one of the few who can do it.
I'd rather beat them and then them not make the playoffs.
They're making the playoffs. With the extended team in the playoffs this year, they're making the playoffs.
Well, right. you say that, but the NFC West might have three playoff teams this year.
San Francisco's not going to go. I can't see the Rams.
Yeah, San Francisco's the only 500 right now.
Well, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks have all got over 500 records at the moment. Yeah.
Seahawks are 6-1.
The Bears and the Packers have both got over 500.
Yeah, but I mean, we all think the Bears are frauds anyway. So
yeah
I see the Bears kind of dropping off.
I don't know. The Bears are going to win this this weekend.
I think the Falcons put a nail in Carolina's coffin this weekend.
Yeah,
it's gone. So
the Panthers are like middling team. They'll be a 500 team.
You know, look, there will be a team with a winning record that gets bounced because you have to take a 6-win Eagles team.
Oh, yeah.
If they get to good. 6 wins.
If they get to 6 wins.
Isn't that a shame? I mean,
imagine Tampa.
And then they're going to host a game, right? They're going to host a game with that shit.
Which, yeah, look, if we don't get the bye, that's where I want to go.
We probably thought that was Seattle a few years ago, and look what happened there.
Oh,
no.
I think
we can win. I think we have the ability to win. I just don't know if we're going to.
It's going to cap off a great week of entertainment.
It's going to take a lot of focus.
It's done, your son.
All right, Sensei Lawrence, any final thoughts?
Are we doing score predictions or what?
I didn't want to, but yeah, go ahead if you want to.
Why didn't you?
I don't like going score predictions of games that I'm not confident we're going to win.
What is the spread for the Saints Bucks game? Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, what's the spread, Jason? Do you know?
Hold on.
We should listen to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
I'm going 30-27 to the Saints.
I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game, so I'll say 21-20 Saints.
Oof! Wow.
In overtime. That's impossible, but yeah.
You just want to kill James. You just want to kill James. He's already wearing a blood pressure cuff 24/7. So you just want him to keel over and die.
Tampa's favored by 4.5.
Oh, geez.
Seems high. I feel like that's it should be 3. Number.
Come down.
It'll drop, but that's a big number.
I guess especially when the Michael Thomas news comes out. But yeah.
Saints 30, Bucks 20.
Oh, I like that. I want to be able to go to bed normally. I don't want to be able to be sitting up for ages trying to wait for my heart rate to calm down.
Well, sorry. There's no way around that. I'm going to go 27-24.
Saints 24, Buccaneers 21.
Oof. So we're all kind of predicting a
overtime field goal wins it.
Bucks from Will, 30. From Will Clutch. Bucks 30, Saints 28.
Okay.
Judas.
Last second field goal wins it. We score right like at the end, but there's too much time left on the clock, and Tom drives him down the field and kicks a field goal to the win.
Where's 20 past?
I hope 20. I'm wrong. I don't want that to happen. Let me please say that I do
if
not
that
want
happens,
that to happen.
That's going to happen.
But he's going to have a lot of help from the refs.
4:30 in the morning.
He is going to have a lot of help from the refs. He will have a lot of help from the refs.
If that happens, Scott, I'm going to send your ad to everyone on my Twitter list. And we're going to
people are going to ask you. It's in Florida, so there's quite a few fans will be going to this game, I take it.
Florida can. Now, whether the team is allowing more just because the state can, I don't know. Because though Florida said, hey, let's open up, like the theme parks, they're still doing their own thing. So I don't know what the team's actually doing.
All right, everybody. That's all the show we have for you right now. Unless y'all have any final thoughts.
You know, happy to be 5-2 considering what we've, had to go through so far. So.
Oh, one more last thing. Jimmy Graham is shit now. That's my final thought.
So we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, Pelican Plunge, Premier League podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. It's a deal that you can't pass up because it costs you $0.00. Follow the Dome Patrol podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow BS and Beer Saints podcast at BS and Beer Media. Follow Taking the Over on Twitter at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, there's Dome Patrol podcast.
Back out.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, powerless donkeys.
Good night.
Who Dat Nation. I'm an American badass. Watch me kick. You can roll with rock or you can suck my dick. I'm a porno flick. I'm like Amazing Grace. I'm gonna fuck some hoes after I rock this place. Super fly.